Shut up, Roderick!
He sauntered over to the main door and pulled it open. 10 men in assorted guards' livery spilled into the room, swords in hand. There was blood on their swords, and no sign of Roderick's personal guards.
You should be proud of your guards, Roderick. They put up quite a good fight while they lasted. But now there's no one left to stand between me and you. No one at all.
You can't harm me. The Gears won't permit it.
Oh, the Gears no longer exists. Over the past few days, the Unreal has been growing steadily stronger throughout the castle. You people only ever notice the major outbreaks, but there's a continuing run of smaller changes going on in the background all the time. Things like milk going sour, calves born with two heads, illusions failing, and the occasional breaking of magic agreements and bindings. My Gears disappeared 7 hours ago. I've been very busy since then. I spent a lot of time in your service planning what I would do to you, Roderick, if I ever got the chance. You're going to pay for what you did to me, you and everyone else in this stinking castle! I've got my own army again. People like me who were held under a Gears, or just servants with grudges. You'd be surprised how easy it was to build my army, Prince Victor. You'd be surprised how many people hate your guts. You and all your damn family.
I hear a lot about an army, but all I see are 10 men, Worm.
There are others, and we're gonna tear your castle apart, Victor, stone by stone.
If you damage the castle, the Unreal will break free without restraints. Red Hot would be devastated. There's no telling how many people would die.
What did they ever do for me? Where were they when your king's magic turned me into something between a slave and a pet?
He turned to his men.
Kill them all!
For a moment, the conspirators did nothing, still shaken by the sudden turn of events. Sir Gawain was the first to act. Gawain smiled coldly and took up a stance between Prince Victor and the rest of the guards.
One down.
Hold on to something, everybody!
Jordan palmed the smoke pellet from his sleeve. Choking black clouds enveloped them, and in a matter of moments, the guards' confident advance had deteriorated into bewildered chaos. Robert Argent stepped toward the nearest guard. The merchant snatched his victim's sword. He looked around for another opponent, his face as calm and unmoved as ever. Jordan moved in as the guards were still confused by the shifting wind and smoke. Another guard headed for Victor, who was still struggling to get up out of his chair. Heather waited to the last moment and then acted. Victor moved in with a knife. Jordan backed away as a guard came after him. He knew a few tricks with a sword, every actor did, but this man was a professional soldier, and Jordan knew his limitations. He glanced quickly about him for Gawain, but the knight had problems of his own. Jordan reluctantly palmed one of his last few flare pellets. Flames roared up around his fist, and he thrust it in the guard's face. The guard automatically raised an arm to protect his face, and Jordan ran him through.
Roderick! We could use some more of your magic!
Spent for now!
LaGrange watched in shock as his men died, and then turned and ran for the door. Jordan went after him, his left hand still blazing hotly. LaGrange turned at bay in the corridor, his sword held out before him. Jordan skidded to a halt and realized too late he might have been just a bit foolish in going after LaGrange alone. LaGrange was by far the better swordsman, and both of them knew it.
You're just an actor, playing pretend. You should have run home when you could, boy. A lucky strike.
You know what they say? One good turn.
How'd you learn to fight so quickly?
As Jordan hit the floor, Gawain released his axe. LaGrange staggered back a pace, still gripping his sword. Jordan looked up from the ground and saw the haft of Gawain's axe protruding from LaGrange's shattered face. Jordan lowered his face into his arms and tried to get his breathing back to normal.
Take my hand, Jordan.
You saved my life.
Thanks.
For a little while, it looked like you didn't need any help. When did you learn to fight like that?
I don't know. It just came to me as natural as breathing.
Well, possibly a side effect of the glamour spell. When you got Victor's mannerisms, his years of training must have snuck through. It'll no doubt come in handy from now on.
Well, that's awfully convenient, if I may say so. Wish I had known that when we were fighting the demon spawn and floating nightmares.
You did fine back there.
Everything all right in there?
Well, DeGrange's men are dead, and none of us are badly wounded. A few scrapes and cuts, nothing more. Prince Victor is safe.
Oh, good, good. Whew, you know, we were lucky this time. We should have expected more treachery from within, and been better prepared to deal with it. The way things are at the moment, we can't afford to trust anyone.
I take your point, but unfortunately we don't have any choice. We all need each other to make this deception work. And anyway, by taking part in this conspiracy, we're all legally guilty of treason. If you're proved an imposter, we'll all hang beside you on the gallows.
If I'd known things were going to get this complicated, I'd have asked for a raise.
You did.
Let's get the blood sample from Victor. We've still got to get to court yet.
Blood and Honor is continued on the next CD.